B-Pod Studios.
Felger.
I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
Mass.
Yeah, Mass, you stupid. S-T-O-O. Stupid Mass.
It's time for Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Talked about how this was going to happen someday and that you just needed to pitch better in the postseason. You were always hoping about it. Now that you have, now that you've succeeded at this stage, what does it feel like? And how difficult was it to overcome all that?
It was tough, absolutely. To answer that question in spring training, day and day, over and over. Anytime it got to September, playoffs, I hold all the cards now, and that feels so good. So that feels so good. I can't tell you how good it feels to hold that trump card. You guys have had it for a long time. You've played that card extremely well, but you don't have it anymore. None of you do, and that feels really good.
Trump card. Seriously. Well, you have all the cards. You so have the cards, David, that for anyone to take your ass off the Red Sox, they had to pick up half of your salary and include the best player on the team just to have someone take you. So that trump card didn't last very long. I'd say that.
I mean, unbelievable, right? This was after the 18 World Series. By the middle of 2019, it was already gone. He had already buried himself again by being an a-hole and sucking and being hurt. Like, really, like,
with a cyst on his wrist.
He was on top of the world here for about, you know, 3 or 4 months.
He had to miss games because of playing too many video games. He had to miss games because he injured his wrist and elbow playing with his effing joystick or whatever it is you got there, the AB button, whatever.
There's more buttons than that, old man.
However you do it. However you kids play your stupid video games.
Get me on these sticks. I'm lethal.
He played so many of them that he couldn't pitch sometimes. Think of that.
Oh, my God. He really was a 13-year-old. Seriously.
And then he would take to social media if he heard something he didn't like.
I mean, 13-year-old. I mean,
you just described your 13-year-old kid.
Yeah. Yeah, he is. He was something else. I mean, from that standpoint, he's not going to be missed.
Okay, your calls on this, the Celtics, whatever you want. Here's Joe in Bradford. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, my take on the Betts trade, you get Nikhil Verdugo, who projects to hit 295 with probably 20 homers, maybe 50% of Betts' offensive production at 2% of his salary.
Here we go.
And you're getting rid of David Price. The millions of dollars that you save will allow you some payroll flexibility in the future. I don't mind it.
Okay, Joe. I mean, then you must be okay with two nickels for a dime. I mean, if Verdugo gives you 50%.
Two nickels for a quarter.
Someone off the bench gives you 50% of it, and it equals the same thing, and you pay less. Do you net out? That's how the Tampa Bay Rays handle it, that's for sure.
Well, right. So this is the problem, is that the Red Sox should never have to make this kind of trade. The fact that they're in this position should piss everybody off. Okay, to me, there's no way around that. Because ideally, you keep a guy like that at a minimum for his entire career, and then when you want to trade him, if you trade him at all, you have someone ready to step in because you're the Red Sox. So the fact that they were in this spot pisses me off to all hell. And generally speaking, though, I will say I don't totally disagree with them. There could be benefits to this trade, but for it to happen right, Verdugo's got to be able to play, or the reliever's got to be able to play, and they can't F up the money going forward. Like, you know, if you're going to take the bullet on a deal like this, and ultimately that's what it is, you're taking a bullet, because you're not going to get full value for a guy like Mookie Betts. You're just not, especially with a year on the contract. So you try to see if you can get someone out of there that can play, a couple of low-salaried players, and then that you make the right decisions with the money going forward.
Full value. To me, it's not even close. And this is why I'd rather have Mookie Betts for a season than have Verdugo and this pitcher. And that's just simply that. If you flipped it to me and said the Red Sox were a contending team, and I could get the second best player in baseball, third best player in baseball, for a World Series run for prospects that were the equivalent of Alex Verdugo and the pitcher, I'd do it 10 times out of 10. Okay? So if I'm the Red Sox, I treat it as such. I treat that as such. I'm renting Mookie Betts for the year. I know we all hate the war stat, but it's just to give you some indication. Again, Jason Stark in The Athletic wrote that Mookie Betts has already had two seasons worth at least 9.7 wins on the Baseball Reference war stat. Okay? He's had two seasons worth at least 9.7 wins. He says, here's a list of all the players in the last 80 years who have had at least that many. So, these guys have had two seasons worth 9.7 wins or more. Willie Mays, Barry Bonds, Ted Williams, Mike Trout, Mickey Mantle, Ricky Henderson, Cal Ripken Jr., Carl Yastrzemski. So I am not trading that for two mid-level prospects because I'm worried about, quote-unquote, losing them for nothing. Because I'm not getting nothing out of it. I'm getting another full season out of it, one of the best players in baseball.
Sure.
So that's it. I think it's fair that, you know, if they don't want to pay 12 at 420, that I get. Those contracts are scary. And let me ask you again. You know, would you give Mike Trout 12 for 420?
Yes.
Okay, so you're not opposed to the contract. You just don't think this player, meaning Mookie Betts, is worth it.
Correct. I mean, to me, you got to be unique.
Okay. Is there anyone other in baseball that you would give, call it 10 years, 400, just to be easy? You know, to give the Mookie Betts ask of 12, 420 or around there. Is there any other player in baseball you'd give that to?
My instinct is no, but there are a couple of guys I would think about. And one is Bellinger. I love Bellinger. I think Bellinger's a stud. And the two young kids in the National League, Soto, and my answer is probably no, but I will at least think about it because of age and everything else. And Acuna with the Braves. Those two I would think about. Everybody else, to me, no.
We've got Christian and Lemonster on our Celtics trade conversation. Go ahead, Christian.
Listen, I want to talk about the Celtics and their draft pick, Romeo Langford. I think it was a horrible pick because they were rumored to get Seibold, and what do? They go draft Langford, who was terrible in college. Supposed to be a top five pick, drops all the way to 20-something. You draft him instead of Seibold. Horrible pick. And now what do you have to trade for Cavella? He's going to the Hawks, and you're not willing to give up a pick. So they're not going to get him, and they're sacrificing, I think, where they're going to go in the season for it.
Did the Langford pick hurt them? Now, the player you're talking about, Seibold with Philly, right?
Yeah. Matisse Seibold.
So does he have currency that would, you know, put you over the top in one of these trades?
I don't know. I'm the wrong guy to ask.
Me too.
But I would tell you that Langford is a bit of a project. And when I say project, he was one of the most highly rated high school players in the country, had an injury, got derailed a little. So I think you look at that one and say, you know, this might take 2 or 3 years, but if you get him back on track, could be hit with something big. Which, I don't remember what pick they took him with, but at that stage of the draft, I don't have a problem with that sort of thinking. Take a shot.
Okay, my point is they have enough to upgrade the team as it is, whether Langford was the right pick or not. They had enough to go get Clint Capela and not upset their starting lineup. They had enough to go get Clint Capela and not upset the core that they really like. And so whether Langford was the right pick or not, they still have the ammunition to improve the team if they're willing to do it. And if they're not, again, and I were a Celtics fan, I'd be pissed. Rick in Framingham on Mookie Betts. Go ahead, Rick.
Hi. You caught me off guard. I wanted to talk about the Mookie trade on that. I think I agree with Maz on that. I think it was a good call. I think they had to make the trade because they had to get rid of salary. There are too many bad contracts they had. Price wasn't a good fit here. The fans didn't even like him. So basically, you're trading away his salary along with Mookie. So you're going to be losing. You're going to be gaining actually $27 million.
Got it, Rick. What's the point?
Well, my point is, this is a rebuild for that. Where they're going to gain $27 million in Mookie's salary, they're not going to be paying out all that money on Price's salary. They should be able to use that money to apply it towards either future players, and they're bringing in two new players.
Okay, let me just stop you. So they're now $16 million under the luxury tax. Is that enough to do anything to improve this team and go do something else?
I mean, not in the short term, no, and I'm not sure they're that far under. I have them at eight.
Oh, really?
I have the number at 190 right now. They were closer to, you know, 230 or something. So, because again, you some of these guys coming back, you got to add a little bit of money, right? And Perez and those guys. But overall, you know, they have some flexibility. I just wouldn't expect anything dramatic in the short term. You know, I hate to put it in these terms because, again, it's the Red Sox, and I don't like the fact that they're doing it either. They don't have enough cheap players. They don't have enough cheap players. They have no minor leaguers. You know, they have a bunch of bad contracts. Like, they porked themselves. They completely, absolutely porked themselves to the point where they had to take the bullet on a Mookie Betts trade so that they could, you know, they could function again. I mean, it's really pathetic when you think about it.
Mike in Rhode Island, your thoughts.
Hey, guys. Listen, if you do the math, they're going to end up paying a 50% tax if they sign Mookie. So, you know, if they're paying $40 million a year, that's really $60 million a year. If you take that extra
money, that's not true. That's not true, Mike. You don't understand how it works. You only pay the tax on the overage of the threshold. So you're not paying 50% on every dollar on the payroll. It's not true.
No. I'm saying as to Mookie, if you paid him $40 million a year, his entire contract would have been over the threshold. So it's really costing you $60 million a year. Now that you're under the threshold because you have Price going and him not being here, that saves you a ton of money. I think there's a chance they could take all that money they saved and then try to re-sign Betts next year. Then when they sign Betts, he's only costing you $40 million a year as opposed to $60 million a year.
Okay, let me just, before you give me a pop,
he's all over the place.
Okay, so take out the money. How realistic is it that Mookie Betts would come back here after all this?
Very, you know, minimal.
Almost never, ever, ever happens.
Like a half of 1%.
Sometimes was it Chapman who got traded and then came back to the Yankees?
And that was a mid-season deal, yeah.
Okay, so that did happen. It's super rare that
it
happens.
Yeah, it is rare.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, again. So,
I mean, you weren't willing to outbid the league now. Why would you be out willing to bid the league next year?
Okay, so I don't think they're going to be, and I also don't think that Mookie would pick it. So this is sort of like,
if they had the highest offer, they might, but he might, because I think he gave him an offer to stay at the highest offer this year, so I think he would do it. I think Mookie Betts wants to make the most he can possibly make, and if it's in Boston, he would have stayed.
Okay, what if he come in, though, two or three teams that are similar numbers?
Oh, if it's the same, then I think he would pick another place.
Yeah, this is why I say he didn't want to be here. He would have picked other places over you. Even if you were competitive, he would have picked somewhere else. He just said at the end
not
of the
day. Not if you said yes to 12 and 420.
Okay, but that's not what I said. I said if he's on the open market and there
different. Right.
And there were two or three teams.
Right. If you and Atlanta were both at $400 million, he'd probably take Atlanta.
Right. Right. So you know, and somebody's gonna give him something big. And he wouldn't have picked Boston if you matched it. So I just see you later. That's ultimately why I trade him. I'm not saying you're wrong for thinking the way you're thinking. Because what you say makes total sense. There are lots of teams that bite the bullet on those players and say, no, we're going to hold on to them for the final year because that year is worth it. The mere fact that they're in this spot pisses me off to no end. I can't even begin to tell you how annoyed I am by that part of it. But given where they are, I'd have moved them too.
We continue with your thoughts after this.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go on the Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Yes!
No!
Yes!
No!
Yes!
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
But I talked to Mookie last night, and I asked him about it. He came out and said, look, he said, this is my home. I don't want to go anyplace else. He said, I don't care what people have said or what they're talking about. This is my home. I want to stay here. He said, I'm going to tell you, I wanted to stay, but, you know, and he said, it was a business deal. And he said, I can't do anything about it. It was a business deal. And they chose to go that way, and I have to accept it. And that's what he said.
Sounds like someone gave Rice's cojones a little squeeze there at the end.
A little squeeze, yeah. A little goose at the end. That's what he said.
That's what he said.
So,
I've been there.
If you've heard, Matt,
that's what he said.
Maz and I have a little disagreement on this. I think that Betts would have stayed. Maz says there's no shot he would have stayed. So, I think he would have. I think he wanted to have a huge contract, and it happened to be in Boston. He would have stayed for it in Boston. He would have prioritized you over anywhere else, but he would have stayed if you had given him the number. He asked for a number. If you had said yes, he'd be here. So that's what I think. But for him to go to the next step and say, I wanted to be there, I wanted to make it work there, even I would say, all right.
Disingenuous.
Yeah, you know, let's not. Mookie, let's keep it real. Okay, if you tell me that you liked Boston and you would have stayed for a market contract, fine, fair. I don't think you hated it, but I also don't think it was your first choice. I don't think that you were you really embraced Boston, but would you have stayed for a record contract? Yes, you would have. That's real. For him to be like, I wanted to stay, this was my first choice, that's going, now I'm going to call bull crap on you. I mean, if the Red Sox tell me Mookie Betts wasn't going to stay here no matter what we did, I call bull crap on the Red Sox. He would have stayed for 12-420. He gave you the offer. Okay, so he would have stayed. Bull crap, Red Sox. But if Mookie Betts says I wanted to stay here no matter what, I call bull crap on you. And Mookie Betts did it again last July. This is from Chris Smith of Mass Live. He caught up with Mookie Betts and asked him about the pending free agency, and Mookie Betts said, well, the superstar said that any assertions he doesn't like it in Boston or doesn't want to be in Boston are inaccurate. Quote, it's completely wrong, Betts told Mass Live. I've loved it here. I love the front office, my teammates, coaches, everybody. It's been nothing but amazing here. Just because you go to free agency doesn't mean you don't want to be somewhere. It's just a part of the business. So, you know, let me just parse that once again. He never said anything about the city or the culture or the environment at Fenway Park. I think Betts is like Price, David Price. I like my teammates. The organization treats me well. It's a fun place to play. Mm-hmm. People care. Okay, but in terms of does he love Boston? You know, that I don't know. That I never got that feeling. Like, and some players you do. I feel like, you know, like David Ortiz loved playing in Boston and the Boston experience.
No question.
Right? And Pedro, and like, so there's guys you can feel embrace it, want it, are good here. I've never felt that for Mookie Betts.
Correct.
Okay? But when he says, I've loved it here, I love the front office, my teammates, the coaches, everybody, that I feel that that's true. Smith wrote that he knows some people have interpreted his desire to test free agency as disliking it in Boston. Quote, I never said that, said Betts. I've always said I loved it here. It's been amazing to me, my family. It's like a home to me. It's been all I know. And just because you exercise something in the business, that doesn't mean I don't like it. All right, so I think Betts takes it a little too far with those comments. Because if you really loved it here, and if it really was a home to you, then you wouldn't ask for 420. You'd come closer to their 300.
Exactly.
Okay, so, like, let's just keep it real. For you to say, Maz, or the Red Sox, he was never going to sign here, that's just wrong. He would have for the number that he asked for. But for then him to say, I wanted it here and it was my first priority, that's wrong too. Keep it real. It was not your first priority. If it was your first priority, you would have done what Xander Bogaerts did.
Right, or Chris Sale, or like, you know.
Bingo.
I mean, there's a lot of guys that do that.
Work with the team, negotiate with the team, come down from your record contract and work with them on extension. That's fully within your control.
I mean, he was giving them open market free agent Mike Trout numbers when he wasn't on the open market. And this is what I'm going to get when I get out there. Yes, but the reason we give it to you now is you get the security of it. And if something happens, you don't have to worry about it. That's the whole trade-off. So I just think, you know, again, at the end of the day, we can debate whether or not he wanted to be here. He wasn't going to get signed. He wasn't going to get signed. Whether it was because of them or him, they were left with 1 year of Mookie, and then we're going to lose him. No matter what. Like, I look at it as...
Was it more them or him?
I'd say he's about even.
See, I think it's more them.
I think it's more them.
He's going to end up closer to 420 than 290. You said the Red Sox last offer was 290?
290.
Okay. He's going to end up much, in my opinion, much closer to 420 than 290.
I bet you he comes out right in the middle.
His ask was way more realistic than the Red Sox last offer.
I bet you he comes in around $350 million.
Okay. So, I mean, let's see.
That'd put him like basically smack dab in the middle. 10 years, 350. I bet you that's what Mookie gets. Something like that.
Yeah. So we'll see.
And you will lose.
Okay. But my guess is that he gets much closer to his ass than the Red Sox offer. And to me, it's more the team. And they might be right. They might be say he's not worth it. He's not big enough to last 10, 12 years. He's not worth that AAV. He's a little overrated. He's not that good. And they might be right. That's not what I'm debating. I'm debating this, you know, what's going to be a PR campaign where Mookie Betts says, I wanted to be there. And the Red Sox are going to say, we wanted him. And they're trying to blame the other, like the Brady thing.
Yeah, I don't believe either one of them at the end of the day.
They're going to blame each other. But I think this is more the team than him. Back to your phones. Here's Nick in Warwick. Go ahead, Nick.
Sorry, guys. I just have to say that I am Red Sox people fans should be furious with these so-called acquisitions. A pitcher who's at 21 going to eat himself out of the league if he hasn't already with a bum arm. A guy they're comparing Andrew Benintendi to. I don't even want Andrew Benintendi on the team now. They want to get a clone. You got a clone who's not even going to be ready for opening day? Crazy. It's crazy.
What great points. A 21-year-old pitcher who's hurt and already overweight. And an outfielder who projects at best to be Andrew Benintendi, and a lot of you don't even like Andrew Benintendi to begin with, and who's also hurt and won't be ready to start the season.
And this chubby Gatorade pitcher, too, loves to pound food. Someone sent me I showed it to you guys during a commercial break, part of his Instagram story. He was at an ice cream shop with his girlfriend. He had a 6-scooper going on. 6 scoops. Little girlfriend's just got like a small cup, and he's just so proud of his 6-scoop monster.
His ice cream cone was bigger than the girl.
It really was.
This guy, you got what? You gained 40 pounds as a 21-year-old? You're in deep trouble.
Yeah, that's a little scary. I told you, I think they gambled a little on some of these players because there was some downside, but the ceiling's high.
Tom and Quincy, what's your take?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, I figured that the trade of Betts was a foregone conclusion last year. So I wasn't expecting any different return. I'm not thrilled about. I plead ignorance, to be honest, on who they got back. I know that kid Verdugo, whatever his name is. He had a modest year for the Dodgers. He's young. I don't know anything about Fatty McGee there, the pitcher that they got. But I was wondering where Maeda went to the Twins. Was there any mention of Maeda coming back this way at all? And with an open spot in the rotation, does that kind of open that up for Downs and Hernandez as being the front runner for that?
Well, let me ask you, could they have gotten Maeda instead of the guy with the 6 scoops?
So, I mean, given that, I think that was an even swap, right?
Between them and the Twins, yeah.
Yeah, my guess is probably.
Yeah.
Well, no, because Maeda costs money.
So I was going to say, I think he's 3.5.
He's low.
He's not super expensive.
He's $3 million. He's low.
And he's a borderline proven major league pitcher. I mean, he's started and then gotten bounced to the bullpen a couple times, but he's a major league pitcher.
Yeah, he is. No, he's a big league pitcher. Yep. And again, there's a swing element to him, although there's the same thing with this 21-year-old guy.
Oh, we don't even know if the 21-year-old's a full major league pitcher.
Okay, so I meant more the profile, but you're right.
I think my eight is more established.
Fine. Absolutely true. My guess is the Red Sox didn't want the older guy.
Yeah.
They said, we'll take a shot on the ceiling. And we know what Maeda is, and because again, he's not expensive. He's only $3 million a year. I mean, I was stunned when I saw that money. I said, Maeda's that cheap? You know, he's not a 200-inning guy, and not that this kid is either. Who the hell knows? But I think they just wanted someone young who was going to cost them $500,000.
Coming up next, more beautiful David Price production from Murray from the archives. Do some angry emails and more your calls, all right after the update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Mass.
Wow.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
And Boston's new secret weapon shuts down the rally at 2.
Oh, what delicious irony. How you all want me now.
Get Price in the game, put Price in.
You've mocked me and you've booed me.
You
said I'm a bad fit for this town.
Love it or leave it, Price.
You've laughed at my dog Astro. Said it was wrong how I talked to Ed.
David Price, wake
up. That I'm a $30 million baby.
$30 million for what?
That needs to show respect. But now you want a World Series ring.
Deploy him as your secret weapon.
Get him in there. And it's Price, we need you.
Put Price in.
And oh, how that makes me laugh.
David Price was not wired to go to Boston.
It's my redemption song.
Kid, he's like our Andrew Miller.
And you can suck my balls.
Oh, I can't wait.
And also Astros.
Going through all the big Jim Murray, David Price production over the years.
Astro bought the farm, right?
Yeah. So
oh, that's right.
R.I.P. Yeah. Astro.
That's yeah.
Right. Poor dog.
Yeah, no. Poor guy. That's right. Emails. Boy, I get some angry emails. Hold on. Stand by.
We don't have an email of the day anymore, but we did get a few good emails today.
Okay, guys, I think I was inadvertently put on this chain this morning, so please accept this as the email of the day. If John Henry doesn't want to pay for his baseball team, he should sell his baseball team. It's really that simple. He needs to go. I expect one thing from owners, to make an honest effort to put winning teams on the field. John Henry is no longer willing to do that. He just traded the face of his franchise for the sole purpose of saving money. He used Mookie Betts! As a pawn to dump half of David Price's salary. Sell, John. Thanks for the 4 titles. It was an amazing accomplishment, but everything comes to an end. And your tenure as a good owner came to its conclusion last night. Signed, Matt McCarthy, McTakey, on our email chain.
And that's someone who really cares about the game and that team.
That's why he's so offended.
He did a 15-minute emergency podcast last night where he's screaming and yelling. It's tremendous. It's a great listening on 98.5thesportshub.com.
And the app.
Sirens blaring in the background the whole nine yards.
Cuss words. He swore like a sailor.
It's like an air raid.
Then on our email chain following right up, I'll echo what Matt said. All I've really got to say about this bet steal so Linda can buy a few more pairs of Louis Vuittons is this. If the slimy, spineless owners are going to treat the team like it's a mid-market franchise, then I hope the consumer treats it the same way. I pray for empty seats and quarterly reports that are drowning in red. Sell the team, you pandering puke. Signed, Jim and Melrose.
Yep. Yeah, I liked what Matt had to say, and I just wanted to echo more of that, too. Stand by it.
This is my favorite emailer, from Dan Roach. And every time I'm like, Roachy, Channel 4's Danny Roachy, Mr. Baseball, will email us from time to time, and I get caught on it every time until I read the subject line, and the subject line says, John Henry is dead to me. And then I realize, oh, no, it's the other Dan. We have another Roach, spelled the same way. Who's Dan Roach?
Not the TV Roachy.
Right, so not the TV Roachy, as you'll be able to tell from this email. Definitely not.
Whom I did call this morning just for a safety check. I wanted to make sure Roachy was okay.
Are you kidding me, Mike?
Our emailer, Dan Roach, says, John Henry, Sam Kennedy, and the rest of Red Sox ownership are total morons and sleazy weasels. Red Sox puppets like Dan Roach. Oh,
blah, 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 blah. This guy sucks. We know Buxton sucks. Porcello sucks. Blah, 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 blah. Give us a call.
The emailer, Dan Roach, calling out the reporter, Dan Roach. He says Red Sox puppets like Dan Roach will tell you that Boston had to do this to reset the luxury tax. What those Henry ass kissers won't tell you is how the Red Sox signed Chris Sale, Nathan Eovaldi, and Xander Bogaerts to large contracts last offseason. They won't criticize the Red Sox lack of foresight in leaving room in the budget to keep Mookie Betts. They won't criticize the Red Sox for routinely lowballing Mookie in contract negotiations by a whopping $100 million. And after all that, even if the rational decision was to trade Mookie, you won't hear Sox beat writers attacking Chaim Bloom and John Henry for using Betts to offload Price, rather than maximizing the return of prospects and building for the future. John Henry, I hate your guts. to the GM of the Dodgers, you just made the MLB your bitch. Please come work at Fenway soon. Sign, Dan Roach, not the Channel 4 Dan Roach.
It's going to be another disaster. Every free agent they sign, Mike, is a disaster.
This is also not from Dan Roach. This is from Drew. Subject
they
line.
They shouldn't have signed him, Mike.
Open letter to John Henry. Dear John, go F yourself. Signing off on the Eovaldi and Sale contracts was a GD joke, a complete mismanagement of those contracts. That is why you have to cut money now. It appears you effed up the David Price contract, too. Hope you sleep well at night knowing you're paying him while he's on a different team. Another mismanagement. You allowed Dave Dombrowski to sell the farm system, and now you have to sell from the big league club to fix the mistakes from the past. So don't lose your precious draft position, essentially punting on the 2020 season. All caps, you have $200 million payroll. You shouldn't have to punt, moron. On top of all that, you raised ticket prices again. Would love an explanation for that. What did you add? Another veggie garden to the right field concourse? Sure isn't because of the team on the field. Oh, that doesn't even have a manager right now. Go F yourself, you asshat, signed every Red Sox fan. So some angry emails out there.
Past his prime already, Mike.
So just quickly, because this guy pointed it out, right? You realize that against the luxury tax, Sale and Eovaldi count $42 million. Do you know how much they saved in this deal in luxury tax money?
43.
42, actually.
I thought it was 40. Either way.
The whole team sucks.
So the point is, had they never signed those guys, they wouldn't be in this spot. And the Eovaldi contract was the problem would have been solved right out of the gate. They Sale would be injured, they wouldn't have to worry about it. And Eovaldi, they wouldn't have signed for $17 million.
Red Sox are ruined.
they'd have Price and Betts both here right now, and then they could do whatever they wanted with Price and nobody would care.
And be under the tax.
Yeah.
Just listen to what I have to say.
So there you go. A couple more quick calls here before we hit the final word. Mike and Woburn. Hi, Mike.
Garoppolo sucks.
I love Angry Dan Roach. This was a salary dump. The thing that drives me the craziest about this is that they could have gotten maximum value for Betts if they didn't use Betts as a suppository to stick Price into the Dodgers with. So if they're willing to dump $16 million of David Price's money, why not dump some extra to trade him by himself? So you can maximize the return. They didn't get prospects from the Dodgers. Everybody talked about the Dodgers have the best prospects. They got a guy who was already on the major league roster, not a prospect, and someone from
Minnesota. Hey, he's a stiff.
The Venezuelan Peter King with velocity for Mookie Betts.
Like, so let me just stop you, Mike. Your phone's not good enough, but the point's well taken. If they had separated David Price out from this and done David Price separately, we'll pick up half the salary and sell him to and trade him to whoever, the Chicago White Sox, for whatever, just to get rid of that money, and they kept Mookie Betts separate, they would have gotten more prospects in return.
There's no chance. This kid has no chance from the start.
Yeah, so that might be true. But he also, the one thing I disagree with him on this is that he said full value for Mookie. You weren't getting full value for Mookie. Wasn't going to happen. Not with 1 year on his deal. No shot. You never get full value when you trade a superstar. Never. Never, 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 never.
James in Boston. Go ahead, James.
Mike.
Hey, Tony. Think about the fact that Price isn't going to have a bad year because pitchers going from one league to another generally have a good first year. But you wrote today that you put in perspective that they offered him 5 years, $100 million. That was such a low-ball offer right there. And did Rusty Castillo and Alan Craig come into play with that, with all that dead money down the Pawtucket?
Because hey, he's a stiff.
Put it in perspective.
So it doesn't, James. Rusty Castillo does not count against the tax. You're paying him real money, but it doesn't count against the tax, and Craig's gone, right?
Yeah, he's been off the books for a while. And what I said was that the Red Sox were $100 million behind on Mookie right out of the gate. They offered him $100 when the market was $2. They offered him $200 when the market was $3. Then they offered him $290 when he wanted $420. Okay, they were $100 million behind every time. So they were way, way behind on it. And I would tell you, Mike, in the interest of consistency, not to sound like Roachy, okay, that is also an indication of a team that doesn't really want to extend itself.
Right.
I don't know who you should throw, Mike.
So I'll give you that. I think that they knew that Mookie wanted big dollars, and they offered just enough that he would say no. And meanwhile, Mookie said, you know what, I'm going to ask for so much because I know you'll say no. I think they both played the same game. I think that part is fair.
Sean and Quincy.
Maybe they should trade him.
Hi, yeah, just about ownership. It just seems like they're just so inconsistent. They let Dombrowski just go wild with the checkbook, and then all of a sudden they're concerned about the luxury tax. It's just there's no consistency there. And how about the foresight to not let it leak out that you're trying to get under the luxury tax during the offseason?
That another mistake.
Shot all their leverage. They shot themselves in the foot, because maybe even if they wanted to get under and didn't tell anyone, maybe they're just selling Price just to get him off the books, and then maybe even keeping Mookie.
Great point. Great point. And that's how, you know, again, I'm going to give Chaim Bloom a little bit of deference here. If these players coming back aren't that good, the owner put him in a really hard spot, killed his leverage. The whole league knew he had to make this trade. And the whole league knew he had to get rid of Mookie Betts before a certain time, and so he was over a barrel. And so he ended up getting some imperfect guys coming back. And that was the owner announcing, we're getting under the CBT.
I mean, that one, to me, they look completely clueless on. So Henry's on the record saying we need to be under, we've known it for a year, is what he said. And then he tells Shaughnessy, you guys are making that up when it's you know, it's, I say on tape, it's recorded.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, it's there. And then, so what? We all know what was happening. They were going to teams trying to make deals, and teams said, you guys have to dump the money. We're not giving you much. Now you're selling for, you know, 5 cents on the dollar. And ultimately, they ended up here. That's where they ended up. I mean, it's really the mismanagement that has taken place in the baseball operation in the last couple of years has been off the charts.
Thus concludes the Red Sox bashing portion of the program. Had a couple of these in the last couple of weeks, kind of out of nowhere.
Mike.
Kind of refreshing, Roachy.
It's been fun.
Both the emailer Roachy and Roachy.
Mike.
Coming up next is going to be the final word. Coming up at 6 o'clock is the Felger Maz off-air show. It returns. Myself and Ty Anderson will hit on everything. You horny Bruins fans who want just a morsel of hockey talk, you'll get it there from Ty.
Red Sox are ruined.
As well. And he'll swear. And that's what's going to come up at 6 o'clock on the off-air show presented by Ace Ticket. The final word comes away next.
Felger and Maz, you suck. This sucks. Everything sucks. Patriots, no chance of winning another Super Bowl. How the heck are they going to do that? Their defense is still susceptible. They haven't faced a good quarterback. Nothing.
You're listening to Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you are looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
Nobody.
Nobody. Nope.
All right, obviously a lot of talk of the Mookie Betts trade from last night on today's show, and there's a comparison, though, with this trade that Maz just, he doesn't like hearing. He don't want to hear it going further either.
CJ in Newport. Hi, CJ.
No, not that.
Is that what this is?
100 years ago,
yeah.
1918, Red Sox, what they do, win the last World Series, so 86 years later, after they traded Babe Ruth. 2 years later.
They sold Babe Ruth 100 years ago. 100 years ago. Is this fair to bring up?
So if one more person brings up this analogy, I'm going to stab myself in the eye.
So I'm going to guess the answer to my question there is no.
Babe Ruth is the greatest player in the history of the game who is hitting 60 home runs in a season when teams couldn't hit 60 home runs in a season. Okay, this is asinine, this whole Babe Ruth comparison. Now, I recognize what Mookie is. He's not freaking Babe Ruth. Can we stop with that nonsense? Like, so I am, again, I like the player. Despite what people think, I like the player. Once I saw what he was looking for, bye-bye. Bye-bye, the door's that way, we're going to trade your ass.
Billy in Rhode Island.
Oh, my God, I'd rather stick needles in my eyes.
Yeah, John, Henry, and Linda are going to use the money for another play. Yeah, Yvonne. Learn to regret it. Did you guys happen to hear Adam Jones' reaction to the Betts trade last night?
No.
I caught a little of it, but I want to hear it again.
Jonesy, here we go.
Go.
This
is breaking sports news.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, if you've been listening to the Bruins, you may not have heard this, but the Boston Red Sox have traded Mookie Betts. He is no longer with the team, traded to the Los Angeles Dodgers. It is expected to be a three-team deal, including the Minnesota Twins.
You know why I'm at a party? I don't need to pay attention to the Red Sox this year. The Red Sox have told me they don't care about their 2020 baseball season, and guess what? I don't have to either. Do we have to do baseball reporters this year? Do we have to go 7 to midnight this year? Do we even need to bother with the baseball reporters this year? No one cares about the Red Sox. No one needs to care about the Red Sox after this move.
Yeah, I would actually go to 98.5sportshub.com or the app and listen to last night's Jones Show, because that segment, that first segment they did, was a masterclass in John Henry Beth, and it was awesome. Finally, though, there was some bickering going back and forth between Mike and Tony today on, guess what, the NBA and big men.
Just because I don't like a player doesn't mean I wouldn't take him for free. Like, if you're getting him for free, fine. Of course I'll take him. Who the hell wouldn't do that? But if you're going to say to me, I got to trade for Clint Capella, no thanks.
And you're giving up Daniel Tice?
Why would you trade for Clint Capella if you can get Tristan Thompson for free?
Why would you hold on to Daniel Tice?
This is the point. Big guys who suck, you should be able to get for free. Okay, I'm not going to trade for Clint Capella.
Clint Capella doesn't suck.
Thompson.
He doesn't suck.
Yeah, he kind of sucks.
He doesn't suck.
Offensively, he sucks.
He doesn't suck. We don't know.
He sucks offensively.
He doesn't.
And you have no idea what he's capable of because he consistently plays out there. He has no shot.
And give fouls to Giannis and help build that wall and that whole thing. That's what we're talking about. You don't need offensive help.
And shoot 50% from the line.
Oh, how can, my God. So, again.
How can he defend Giannis if you can't put him in the game in the fourth quarter? How can he defend Giannis if you can't put him in the game in the fourth quarter?
Put anyone in the fourth quarter and foul Giannis because he doesn't shoot free throws either. Does that mean you don't want him?
No, I'd take Giannis.
Okay.
Because he can dribble and get to the hoop.
But he can't shoot the free throw, so just foul him.
But Capella can't get to the hoop.
This is my point. This is also why the Bucks are vulnerable.
Capella's useless.
I find you useless on the NBA. You hate everybody.
Now you sound like the listeners. I don't hate everybody. I just hate most people.
You'll see. The Celts have a shot this year.
I'm not giving a good shot to win at all. If you get a little bit closer, who knows?
Maybe you can pull off that upset, and the next thing you know, you're in the NBA Finals. Which you're not going to win anyway, Felger, so why do anything? I don't know. Let's go to the NBA Finals and burn that bridge when we get there.
They'll lose to Milwaukee in six, Matt.
Going to the Finals is a good thing, not a bad thing, Maz.
See him get crushed by the Lakers?
Going to the Finals is good, not bad. Repeat after me.
Or the Clippers?
Do you agree with that?
No, it's not necessarily good.
Really?
No.
You'd rather lose earlier in the playoffs than losing the NBA Finals?
I'd rather win the Finals.
No. Would you rather lose earlier in the NBA Playoffs or losing the NBA Finals?
What's the difference?
About a month and a half of basketball.
Okay, so from a show content standpoint, fine.
Yeah, well, this is what we're talking about. And also a fan, you get to watch them for a month and a half, and you get to go on a run and experience and enjoy a playoff run. What's wrong with that?
Nothing.
You are insufferable on the NBA. Insufferable.
It's pass-fail league. I'm sorry.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.